Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey Wisdom Podcast. This is your co-host, Tyler Yaw, and today I am with
Chris Kellum.
And our special guest today is
Buffy Andrews.
And you are the owner of
Madewell Center for Wholeness.
Awesome. Ooh, I've heard so much about you.
Have you now? What have you heard?
It's like, oh no.
It's always interesting. People say that, you know, and you're like, please tell me.
Oh, yeah, no, I've heard multiple good things about
That's
Madewell.
Great.
And being the non-educated person I was, or typically am, people are like, oh, Madewell. And I'm like, the clothing company?
Yeah, most people think that. In fact, you know, this is one of my pet peeves, is that people will spell Madewell Center and they'll combine Madewell, like the jeans, you know? And I'm like, no, it's Madewell Center. Space it out. Like, these are separate words.
Right, yeah.
So you have to say it that way.
Have to say it that way?
Yeah.
Yeah, Madewell Center.
Madewell Center.
Madewell. Like you're Madewell.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But still, am I like that pause, that brief pause, I'm like, oh, there's a distinction between
Madewell Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on too, is because I'm sure there's many therapists and mental health therapists in Wilmington. However, you and your practice is one of the only ones that, like, I see often in front of myself since you started it, like, a few years ago. Yeah. And so clearly you're doing something right and putting out there and making yourself different.
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons. But before we get too far into you and all of that, Chris, what are we sipping on today?
So today we're sipping on a bottle that one of my friends brought me a couple months ago. It's Woolcott Special Reserve. It is actually distilled by Barton, 1792. And it's the series 0074. Interestingly enough, it's only 90 proof, so it shouldn't be too crazy. From all my 30 seconds of research, I can't find a website for it. So other people say the palate should be vanilla, oak, brown sugar, maraschino cherries.
Oh, my husband's so jealous.
And then the finish should have a little vanilla, oak, and some light pepper.
Oh, the pepper. Interesting.
Yeah.
Peppers on the back end of it.
Yeah, on the back end. So we're going to sit here and check it out.
Here we go.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. I definitely get some of the pepper, especially on the back end. It's one of the most peppery whiskeys I've had.
Yeah. But it's not.
That one was interesting because it didn't like go in my nose like it normally does, but it was kind of like all around the mouth.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. That was interesting.
Do you typically use like one of these glasses? What do you typically drink from?
We have like little like crystal, I say crystal, they were like from Amazon, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but,
like,
the fancy Glencairns.
Yeah, that's a what?
Glencairn.
No, I don't know. Is that, that sounds like someone's name.
It is named after somebody.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Okay, there you go. Well, no, we don't have those.
No, we just use basic.
That's ours are like this, but they're like little crystal, like the geometric crystal, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah. It's a good Christmas present for your husband, then, if he likes whiskey. So those Glencairns, okay. So you can actually start smelling it and getting the full, like, aroma of the whiskey out of it without getting the harsh alcohol scent.
Why does it do that in the glass?
So
the way that it's made is very similar to, like, a wine glass.
Oh.
So it's almost like a decanter
where
it helps it aerate a little bit more. And after you, spin it around.
Do you drink wine at all?
Yeah, I like wine.
Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're doing red wine, typically it's like a wider bulb, and it allows for, like, when you're drinking it, the alcohol to get trapped in the bulb area.
Oh.
So, like, that
the
evaporated alcohol
I just
gets
don't
trapped
know
there,
alcohol.
And it goes away from your nose. Or same with this, like, when you go to sniff it, the alcohol typically gets trapped here, and you can sniff it without just smelling the burn.
Well, look at that. Education for me today.
A little bit of the whiskey and wisdom for you.
Yeah, the wisdom about the whiskey.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh, myself. I'm a new mom, which
Congrats.
Is exciting. Yeah, I'm a little 4-month old. on Tuesday on the whiskey tasting night. But yeah, so he's awesome, a little wilder.
Yeah.
I'm married and my husband loves disc golf. So if you see him around town, like, and you're like, who's that really good disc golf player? It's probably my husband.
Awesome.
I own Madewell Center, obviously, mm-hmm. and I love like all things health and wellness. I love holistic health. I love educating people. It's just really fun to me to mm-hmm. be able to kind of, you know, be in that space. And I just love learning, honestly, also. So yeah. It's just fun for me to learn all the time. So
it seems like that too, just following like the social medias and everything, right? Is just kind of diving into something new that you're using to kind of put together and kind of, mm-hmm. which is funny because the wholeness part
yeah.
of like Madewell Center of Wholeness, yeah. right? Yeah, it's yeah, just yeah. kind of the whole mind, body, soul type of thing yeah. is what I get from it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, the reason, you know, I named it Madewell Center is because I believe that we were kind of like born into original paradise, if you will. And like mm-hmm. the world is what gets in the way, right? And like, I believe we all have this inherent ability to heal. And that we are to be made whole, right? Mm-hmm. And there's actually like a scripture that it's like the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. And she does that. And then Jesus is like, who touched me? Mm-hmm. And she's like, I did. And he's like, it's okay. Like your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Mm-hmm. And so the whole, like your faith has made you well. It's like the idea of radical hope, right? Yeah. And just yeah. kind of like being able to embody that. And so, yeah, that's like, I want people to believe that they can be made yeah. well, right? And it is wholeness, right? Yeah. It's like, you can't just go to a therapist and mm-hmm. heal your mind. You can't just go to the doctor and get your heart medications. Like it's everything all mm-hmm. in one. So yeah.
Interesting.
So what got you interested in this career path from the beginning?
You know, honestly, growing up, I always loved helping people, right? Okay. And so that was like something that my mom was always saying, you know, like you should be, you know, a teacher or a right. doctor or whatever. And I was like, no, I don't want to be a teacher. Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. It's not. Teaching is a great profession for all you teachers out there.
Just not for you.
Just not for, not me. For me. Yeah. Yeah, just not for me. And so I always thought that I would just work for like a nonprofit maybe. In fact, in college, I did work for a nonprofit. And in fact, I almost dropped out of college because I was like, I'm doing what I love. Like, yeah. why do I need to keep going to school, right? And so basically when I moved here, funny enough, I actually studied film and media production in undergrad. Okay. And so I moved to Wilmington wanting to get internships with different places. Like I worked with Half United, Ocean mm-hmm. Cure, like a couple different, like Port City Church on their media production team, yeah. Just making videos for them. And then I quickly learned about myself that I just hate the editing process.
Yeah.
So much.
Like, so painful.
So painful. Ugh, it drains me so much. Like I get away from a computer and I like my color has drained from my face. Right. Mm-hmm. So anyways, he was like, you know, there's gotta be more to life than this. Like I was working at a barbecue joint at the time. I was babysitting, nannying, like all the things right. in one. And basically every, you know, career, big girl job that I thought I would be really good at or that mm-hmm. I wanted to do all said that I needed a degree in social work that I didn't have. Mm. Yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I have to go back to school. So I signed up to go back to grad school. And that's just kind of how I like landed in the social work realm. Okay. And then through my internship in grad school, I was able to shadow at Coastal Horizon Center.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved the therapy piece. I loved sitting and talking with people one-on-one. And I was like, this is great. Like I can do this. And I think that's what I loved about film too, was mm-hmm. I loved interviewing people okay. and filming it and like, you know, just getting to know their stories. Right. So the therapy piece was kind of like, oh, I get to learn their stories without editing any of it. Right. You know, like this is great. And so basically through working at a larger agency, I was working with a lot of high crisis, high risk kids and basically just seeing that there was a lot of kind of basic education missing that they could learn in order to feel so much better on the mental health realm. Right. And so that's to me where I was kind of like wanting to create Madewell Center too, was just the fact that I didn't want to have to keep dealing with the red tape of people telling me what I can and can't do with someone. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to discern and have enough wisdom going into this conversation with someone that we can figure out together what is going to work and just do it without it being so dictated, I guess. You know what I mean? Right. So, yeah. So I guess it was kind of just like, I kind of fell into it a little bit, mm-hmm. but I've always valued health, you know, I mean, growing up, I was someone born on like biscuits and gravy, yeah. you know, and I'm now gluten free and yeah. that's not necessarily by choice.
So sad.
It is a little sad, but it's also like so freeing because yeah. I realize I feel so much better. Like actually during one of my jobs working at the agency I was working at, I started questioning, am I depressed? Like, what's going on? You know? And it wasn't until I got a food sensitivity test that I was like, you're actually really allergic to gluten.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, I stopped eating gluten. My energy rose back up. Like, I felt so much better for myself. And so just little things like that of like how yeah. you grow up versus what you learn as yeah. you get older, you know? And I just want people to know because there's just so much that I didn't know growing up that I'm yeah. like, my life could have been so different. Had I known these things.
Right. You
know? I just go based off. I was like, that was delicious. And now my tummy hurts. So I probably shouldn't eat what's in there. Mm. And I'm like, it'd be a lot easier if I went and had a like gut like check test or something.
Yeah.
So is that something you guys offer?
We do. We have she doesn't necessarily do like specific food allergies, but she can see where you might be reacting to things like gluten. And that's kind of the biggest one I think that most people, you know, are curious about, but she can run Carrie Sink. She's our gut health girl is what I call her. I'm sure she loves that title. The gut health girl. It's like a superhero or something. She kind of is to some people, yeah, you know, like,
I'm sure some people absolutely agree.
Yes, 100%. So yeah. So she runs a GI map on people and basically that GI map can tell you any kind of parasites, toxins, bacteria, things that are living in your gut that you didn't know were living in your gut. And then she basically works with you on creating a protocol that can kind of help you, you know, cleanse that out or build up good bacteria. Like maybe you just don't have any good gut flora going on. Mm-hmm. So I've had myself and multiple family members do the test and it was very eye-opening. You know, even someone who's gluten-free, she's like, you're still reacting to gluten. And I'm like, what? I don't eat gluten. Wow. But, you know, gluten gets in things like sauces and whatever. Yes, and true. So if you're like, I'm always someone who's kind of like, oh, like, it's a sauce, whatever. Like, give me the sauce.
Right.
But clearly I shouldn't do that. I'm still reacting to it. So, yeah, no.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
So you came up with the concept of Madewell Center. How did you, like, go about figuring out who you wanted to bring into the fold and, like, grow your team,
yeah.
I guess I would call it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, honestly, when I started, it was just me. Okay. And so it was just me doing the mental health counseling piece. And as I was growing and getting so many referrals, that's when I was kind of like, man, I need to bring on another practitioner. I can't, because I also, you know, I didn't necessarily at the time trust a ton of therapists in town. I feel like the private practice space was just kind of starting to take off. And right. I was like, I trust that these people are referred to me because there's something I'm offering that they're wanting and needing. Right. And then I was like, but I don't trust like just sending them out to go to someone else necessarily. Yeah. So that's when I was like, I got to bring on someone else. And so that's when I brought on Brittany Patterson first. Like she was my first girl. Yeah. I just interviewed her and kind of like got to know what she was about. And we have a lot of same values. And so to me, it's always just kind of been a, like the idea of, are you my people? Right. Okay. Like, yeah. I mean, yes, skills, qualifications, all that kind of stuff, but anybody can have that.
Right.
It's more like, do I kind of trust your heart and do I trust your ability to discern other people, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's how I kind of just like one at a time, I started adding people in. And then like we were over off Shipyard. Then we grew and got a place off Park Avenue. And then we grew more and we moved buildings in the same complex. But it's just a bigger space. And so, yeah, we just grow like a little bit at a time.
Love it.
Yeah.
So I know you have the love for also like just a holistic health too. Mm-hmm. Was that something that you had originally before you started with your practice? Or is that something that just kind of came along later or noticed that it all came out?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, yes, I've always valued health, but I'm very much like a when you know better, do better kind of person. And so I think for me, I was just learning a little bit at a time kind of thing. And then my mind is like, what? why doesn't everybody know this? You know, like, why are we not taught these things or whatever? And so I think through my own learning, that's kind of where I like just want to add in more and more and more. Right. And it's just, again, I think when you get to that core value of it's not ever just one piece, like it's all connected. We're all intrinsically connected.
Yep.
I think that is what I value the most, is like just helping everyone understand that it's all connected,
right.
You know? And so then just the more I learn, the more I want to add in new, you know, services or what have you. So yeah, it's been kind of a journey for me too.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
Right now with your journey, what's the thing that you're most focused on right now that you're super excited about and fired up?
Oh, yeah. So for me personally, it's interesting because I'm obviously the owner of Madewell Center. As the owner, there's a lot of things that you have to do to run the business, you know?
Yes.
So I'm like way limited on how many one-on-one sessions I can offer people. I mean, I'm also limited because I just had a kid and like babysitters and things like that, right? Like, how do you fit it in?
I understand.
But on, so with that, I've kind of created this new like personal way of doing therapy, I guess, that I want to start offering people that I'm calling healing intensives.
Okay.
And so these healing intensives are essentially for people. And I haven't even like really put it out on my websites or anything. I mean, it's on my wellnessbuff.org website, but it's, I haven't really promoted it super heavy. But essentially it's like, think about compressing, you know, 5 to 6 therapy sessions into a day.
Oh, wow.
And so allowing people to have like true time and space across the course of one day where they can like really dive in. The reason I'm doing it is because I had this experience with a business coach a little while ago, and it was so, I just was like, I walked away feeling so free, right? Because I was finally able to get through all the issues and all the things and all the, you know, goals I want to work towards. And we came away with a game plan, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I want to do with the healing intensives, is let people, you know, we still do the history taking. We might do some additional kind of testing for people because I have my natural health certificate and I'm actually doing a functional mental health training as well.
Oh, that's neat.
I'm hoping to be able to run like lab work for people, maybe do things like muscle response testing, that kind of stuff. But then also just really give people the time and space to like lay it all out there, right? Because I'm sure like you've been to a counseling session and you get to the hour mark and you're like, dang it, like we're just getting into the meat of what we were trying to talk about. And then you have to wait a couple weeks to come back or whatever. And then inevitably in that time when you're waiting, you
something else happens.
You like might have to talk about that later. Or you just like forget what you talked about. You don't practice it. So the goal with the healing intensives is that people can kind of like experientially practice it, you know, in session. And yeah, it's just like a compression of 5 therapy sessions. And then I would personally go back and create like a kind of like a guidebook for you. You know, it's like, here's what we talked about. Here's the goals you wanted to work on. Here's the supplements that I think you should start taking. Here's the resources that I'm going to give you. Here's some worksheets of like, you know, maybe it's mood journals or what have you, you know, whatever it is specifically for that person. I'm going to like create that and then give that to them. So like essentially they're paying for like 8 hours of my time. You know?
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm hoping it'll take off. I feel like it'll be really beneficial for people who do it.
Yeah.
But it's an investment in yourself, right? Because again, if you think about compressing 5 sessions, like, you know, how much they cost individually, like we're doing it all in one day. So it feels like a lot up front, but it's worth it. Yeah. I think, you know,
but it's like we were talking before we started the podcast, like, it's one of those things, it's better to invest in the front end and kind of see the growth that it comes to you versus being like, oh, well, I can spread it out a little bit, but potentially it's it won't stick or might not come as quickly as you might need it.
Right. And I always say like, you know, kind of like wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. Wisdom is invaluable, you know, in so many ways. Like somebody told me this story one time that was, a guy who I'm sure y'all probably have heard it in some capacity, this story, but he was basically a guy who was, you know, some sort of repair technician, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this company that I forget what they made. Just let's say there were some sort of factory, right? And they produced shoes. I don't know, whatever it could be. It could be anything. But their machine was broken. And this was like a massive machine that was pivotal for their work that they're doing, right? And the guy comes in. They're like, how much would you quote us to fix this machine? And he's like, oh, this will be $10,000, you know? And then they're like, okay, we don't care. Like, you know, fix our machine. And all he has to do is like, he uses a penny to like turn one screw or something in the machine. And then it starts working. And they're like, wait a second. All you did was this. Can you itemize it out for me? And he's like, well, the penny is this 1 cent. The knowledge of how to turn the screw, $9,999, right? And so it's like that kind of idea of like investing in yourself. And sometimes like you need that one screw turned to be able to progress the way you need to. And that's invaluable, you know, like at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That's really smart. I have a performance coach who does something similar too, where like you can just do like the 1 hour session type of thing, but he also does more like a boot camp. And you just sit there and you go through all of it. And it's very, very similar to what you were talking about too. And he just launched it as well and was telling us like the value of it. He was like, this one session with you is great and we can get some stuff done, but to actually like dig past what's actually like just laying there on the top level and finding out what's actually wrong in the business, what's wrong with you or what's going on. So you'll get past some of the self-limiting beliefs that you have as well. Is invaluable.
Yeah.
So it's really neat that you're doing that in your capacity as well.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's the best way for me to continue to do what I'm doing. And then like, you know, I can hire a babysitter for one day while I'm like, but to like make it consistent every day is like really hard, you know? So yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Nice.
I'm so intrigued. By the way, our website is super easy, super casual.
Thank you.
Chris with his ADD, whatever. Crazy brain. I was sitting here looking, and every time people come on, I like look at their website and see like, what are their services? What are the things they offer? And I was just like, it's just very calming.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's not very aggressive, which I kind of like. So on here, it says mental and wellness coaching and counseling. What are the differences for normal?
Essentially, like the coaching piece would be more for people who don't have insurance or things like that. It allows you to not have to diagnose. And then also, we're not technically like, we're not technically treating something, right? Okay. If it's coaching, but we are walking alongside someone. But we also have health coaching for people who maybe do have other, you know, health issues going on. Maybe they've worked with Carrie on the gut health piece and now you just really need to work on like your foundations of health. Like we have health coaches who can kind of help walk alongside you in those things as well. So coaching just really allows it to not have to be dictated by anyone else, you know, and allows it to, again, not have to have a diagnosis. Allows you to really get creative, you know, truly in like the types of interventions and things that you would use for someone. So,
Because you were talking about that and I'm like, so what is the, in my head, I'm like, what's the difference in coaching and a counseling session?
Yeah. And a lot of times, I mean, a lot of times people will tell you that counselors and therapists tend to look more at the past, right? And like, how did you get to where you're at kind of thing? Like, what are the things that happened along the way that bring you to where you are? How do we heal those things? Whereas I do think coaching tends to look more future oriented, where it's like, okay, here's where you're at, but here's where you want to go. What do we got to do to get there? Yeah. You know, but that's why I kind of like being a therapist and a coach in a lot of ways is because I get to do both legally and well, right? Like because of my license, I have the skills and the training to know how to look back and, you know, dig into some of that stuff with people. But I also am very, you know, like, let's move forward, you know, so I can like really help people do that too.
I like that. I feel like there's so many things in the world and people they're looking for that one stop solution.
Right.
And like my brain, like picking out what you're just saying is like, yes, pretty much everybody needs some sort of counseling. Like you need to look at your past and kind of figure out what was behind you, but like, what are your goals? Like, what are we going to do to push you forward?
Right.
Get you to the next spot.
Right. Yeah.
So who's your coach?
Who's my coach? Yeah. Well, it's funny because right now I am more like business oriented in things that I'm doing. So like for the business side, Allie Cyrus is one of my coaches. Mm-hmm. She runs Ruya Media, and she's just a genius in so many ways. And she's so fun. And I feel like we're like kindred spirits in a lot of ways. And then I'm in my functional mental health and practitioner training. And so Brendan Vermeer, I think I'm saying his name right. It's so hard to say. He is kind of like my coach for that stuff, like learning that. So
interesting. Yeah. I was just curious. I'm like, people are always talking. Like I said, I'm assuming every counselor or therapist needs their own.
Right. And I've definitely had different ones across. Yeah. Like historically, but like right now, I feel like I'm in a season where I don't necessarily need like a therapist or counselor. I'm more focused on these other things. So, you know, those are my coaches for those things. Yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah.
I'm glad you bring that up too. That was something else I was going to touch on as well, just because I'm a financial advisor. So everyone always asks like, what am I doing with my money type of things? Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. And I've always said every good financial advisor has their own financial advisor.
Right.
Just because looking in on yourself is always different than looking at others. Because it's either easy to look at someone else and be like, okay, these things are going on. You can look at it super objectively and be like, well, you invest for this, for that. And since you have this goal, you do this. Right. But when you're looking at yourself, you're taking all of those extra like crap in your head and you're just like, maybe I don't want to make that move yet. So having someone else hold you accountable.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm glad Chris took that question from me too, because that was one that I had for you as well.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it is so important. And I'm an advocate of like, know yourself and know the resources that you have right in your life. Because, you know, I would say like, again, at different seasons in my life, there've been times where maybe at church, like I had a, you know, pastor or a small group leader or something like that, who they were like super invested in me. Right. So it gave me still that space to like process and dive into some of those things. Right. Other seasons, it's like, I had my best friend. Like I had a season for a while where we would get tacos every Thursday night and we would talk about stuff, you know, that's going on.
Tuesday.
No, we did them on Thursday because we had worship practice and then we'd go. So we'd go right after. But, you know, that was like a good time for me too, because I was able to share and like get things off my chest. And, you know, and a lot of times I don't need someone to like decipher, everything. I just need somewhere to put it. Right. Yeah. And so if you have those things, that's wonderful. But if you don't have those things, like you need to find them somewhere. And so whether that's a counselor or a coach or a business coach or a mentor or a really good friend that you don't have, you know, whatever that looks like, like you got to find it.
Mm. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
With what you're doing right now, the average client that's coming to you, is there something that you're seeing more often than not?
Oof. I'm sure my clinicians would probably have more insight into that, honestly, because my caseload is like kind of people that I've seen for a while.
Right.
But I would say that there's definitely a lot of trauma, and a lot of the ADHD stuff coming about, and anxiety, just anxiety out the freaking wazoo.
Really?
And I'm like, people, we gotta work on this anxiety. I think a lot of people are afraid of the things that they struggle with, right? Mm-hmm. And so it makes them, again, feel like they need to go fix it or, you know, have some label around it, when really, kind of like your friend that left, he was like, my ADHD is my superpower, right? It, like, those things can be a superpower if we learn how to listen to them, right? So even things like anxiety or your trauma, if those things are rearing, you know, their ugly head, if you will, those things can be informative for you, but you have to learn how to listen to them and not be like ashamed that you're experiencing them. Yeah. Right. Like learning how to say, "Ooh, okay, my anxiety's really high this week. So what's going on? Like, let me listen to that." And then kind of, you know, rearrange your life accordingly if you need to. Yeah. Right. But a lot of people don't do that. We just want to go like get a pill, get a Band-Aid, get a fix so that it can just go away. When it's like, no, like we are wired to experience these things in our body for a reason. Like it's not there just to have to like cover it over with like a slap of paint, right? Like we are wired to experience these things and we have to learn how to listen to them or we're never going to fix them. Yeah. You know, people just want to like quickly, you know, move on from them. Yeah.
This is a weird connection, but it made me think of it. A couple of weeks ago, we had on Dr. Grant Bishop. He's a PT.
Okay.
And he was talking about when people go out to play golf, they'll stretch before they play golf, but they're just trying to find some width they're hoping will give them a short-term gain in their game. Mm. And really that stretching is just dampening pain receptors. Mm. So it really kind of made me think about that too. Mm-hmm. It's like people are just trying to dampen their pain receptor, yes, as opposed to actually fixing what will actually help their game, help their life.
Right. Yes. 100%. Yeah. No, that's a great analogy because that's exactly what it is. Interesting. Yeah.
So because I'm random, if you've ever listened to the podcast, so your tattoo with a B, is that actually a chemical compound or is that just supposed to be?
Yeah. There's dopamine and serotonin in there. Okay. Yeah. So they're just like, kind of hidden in the honeycomb, if you will. Yeah.
I loved science growing up. So I looked and I'm like, that's a chemical.
I love that you saw that. Well, I feel like most people don't pick up on that piece of it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's
because they just see like the honeycomb, like, you know, kind of going around.
Yeah. Chris loves science and tattoos. So both together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I looked and I was like, that, I mean, it makes sense. There's something else going on here. Yeah. Sorry. It's just like right here on our phone.
Yeah.
We were sitting somewhere talking about tattoos and someone asked a question. Oh, we were talking about flying somewhere and I pulled my arm out because I have a tattoo of the world. And I'm like, instead of flying from here to here, they flew this way. And they were like, I can't believe you just did that.
That's amazing. It's like one of those like forearm calculator things. Right. Yes.
Like I've seen them people who like got a tattoo of a, like a ruler on the side of their leg. Oh, so that way when they go fishing, they can like hold the fish up. Like, yep, it's the right size.
Smart. Wow. But also you got to really hope that tattoo artist used the right ruler to tattoo with, you know? Because I saw a post on, was it Facebook or something the other day that was like a Stanley ruler. They had two of the same brand of ruler next to each other and they were not accurate.
Yeah. Yes.
I said, oh, well, this makes me mistrust everything in life.
I know.
Well, yes, they're not accurate. But two, did you know, like, with tape measures, you're supposed to, like, it wiggles on purpose? So, like, you're supposed to grip it and stretch it out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just do where it's flat, it actually, that's why it's off.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because it's built in, like, a couple.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So.
All the things I don't know.
I'm going to take Chris's. Off topic, go back on topic. So for the things that we were just talking about, like the anxiety and stuff like that, what's a couple things that someone can do like today, like a listener that's going through anxiety today, what's a few things that they could do to kind of help like alleviate that or the next steps that they should take?
Yeah, for sure. I would say for alleviation's sake, you gotta learn where it's coming from and what's triggering it, right? Okay. So if you don't take the time to sit with it for a second, take inventory kind of your life, right? Like, okay, what it also, you have to know yourself enough to know what's your capacity, right? I think that's a big part of understanding and healing your anxiety is like, you can't just notice all the triggers. You also have to know yourself enough to say, well, gosh, like my capacity is really only, you know, X high.
Right.
And because I'm way over exceeding that, that's why my anxiety is rearing its head, right? So you got to take inventory of your life. I would say also move your body, especially with anxiety. Yeah. Like that's a big one. Like anxiety is a nervous energy within your body. And so you have to move it out somehow, right? That's why usually people get kind of irritable when they're anxious. Or that's why people just get really tense because it's like wants to move out of your body, but you're kind of like holding it in, right? And so moving your body, whether that's stretching, running, jumping, doing a dance in your kitchen, like whatever that looks like, move your body. I would also say kind of get like a comprehensive metabolic blood panel done. Mm-hmm. Figure out maybe where some of your vitamin levels might be, you know, talking about things like ADHD and whatnot, you know, like a B complex. That's like a really simple supplement that a lot of people are deficient in. And if you could take a B complex, like you're going to greatly change your game. Magnesium is another big one. Magnesium is huge for anxiety. So there's some basic supplements that you could take also that would really help your body like function the way it's supposed to and help you move that stuff out, you know. But if everything is just stagnant, it can't go anywhere. And then that's what makes you irritable, anxious, upset, frustrated, you know?
Right.
So definitely try those things. And then if you're having a hard time figuring that stuff out, right? Like go to a therapist, go to a counselor, go to somebody who is experienced in helping you figure that out.
Yeah, right?
Right.
And if you feel like you're not getting what you need from a therapist in a 1 hour session, maybe you need a healing intensive, right? Like that might be something for you where you're like, I want to experience what it's like to calm down my nervous system. Like, let's do that.
Right. You know? That's neat. Yeah. The blood panel, the comprehensive blood panel is something I've done annually for years now. Yeah. My mom works with a functional doctor who actually we had on the podcast, Dr. Hillary Rutledge.
Oh, nice.
And that's one of the things that helped me out a lot too. So like even before I started like doing the 75 hards and stuff like that, before all of that, just finding out like, oh, hey, your vitamin D levels are like on the floor. Like we need to get this back up. And like just how that, I never in a million years would have thought that would have played into like what my mental was.
Oh,
and
then
I started really like doing more research and learning more and listening to more podcasts about it. And I was like, oh, wow, this all really is like interconnected.
Super
and it's
connected.
It's mind blowing. It was mind blowing to me.
Yeah. And there's things like, you know, in your gut, like if your gut isn't how it needs to be, right? Like then you're cultivating, it's all like inflammation driven, right? So there's all these things like going on in your body all the time. And again, the way we're designed, our body is supposed to be able to inflame at some level, just like getting a fever, right? Like we get a fever because we are trying to get out something, like it's inflaming in order to function and move out this bacteria, virus, whatever we got going on.
Okay.
But what happens is we tend to over-inflame our bodies and then we're kind of in a state of chronic inflammation. Well, when that happens and we're cultivating things like leaky gut, leaky brain, like, and leaky gut can actually lead to leaky brain because then you're sending signals via your vagus nerve up to your brain, right? And then if your brain's like interpreting all these like inflammation processes that are going on, you're going to create a leaky brain situation. And that's where like the depression, the anxiety, the, you know, overreactions to triggers or whatever that may be, right? Like that's your, it's overly inflamed. So we have to reduce that inflammation on all fronts, you know?
I've heard of leaky gut before, but can you go in a little bit more what leaky brain is?
It's essentially kind of like the same with leaky gut. It's like you've got this permeable or supposed to be impermeable barrier, right? Like around your gut where like it keeps in the right bacteria and not toxins, but keeps that bacteria regulated where it needs to be, right? So same kind of thing with your brain. It's like we've got a blood-brain barrier. And if that blood-brain barrier becomes more permeable, it becomes more opened up, then we've got things that can go in and out of this blood-brain barrier. So things that are supposed to stay in are coming out and things that are supposed to stay out are coming in. And so, so it's the same kind of concept.
Right.
So we want to be able to keep that blood-brain barrier intact. But again, if you're having these like over-inflammatory processes all throughout your body, really hard to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Your body doesn't know what to fix or how to fix it.
Yeah. And it's like trying to fix it, but it's kind of like, I would maybe equate it to almost like doctors and how they might give you like one prescription medicine for one thing, but then it's got like these 20 side effects. Right. So then they give you like five other medications to help the side effects of that one medication. Mm-hmm. Your body kind of does that in a natural way, right? Of like, okay, we're going to inflame this one thing to help get out this one toxin or bacteria. But then it's like, oh, but because we inflamed that one thing, now we've got these other, you know, levels that are off. And so now we've, now we've got to like ramp this thing up. And so that's why like learning how to get to the root cause of what you got going on is so important. You know, you can't just like keep only throwing a supplement or a pill or something at this one symptom, right? Because you could be actually creating a whole cascade of other things in your body that you're not really, you're not healing it right, you know?
Right, yeah. That kind of goes with the, when we had Sarah Ald on with the Upper Health talking about just like the sick care system that we have and not actually going down to the root cause and everything.
Yeah.
You guys are actually affiliated with Upper Health, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We're providers with them. Yeah.
Cool.
We're all connected on this podcast.
Yeah. Wilmington's a very small place.
So. It is. It is.
But is it's, it?
I've always said it is the largest small town.
Right.
Yeah.
I look around, I'm like, I don't know any of these people. And then I'll turn around the corner and Emily's like, babe, you just knew 17 people in that one building. I'm like, but I haven't seen anybody for like 6 months. Right. So it balances.
That's true.
So question for you.
Yeah.
With your business and in life, what would be success for you?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think for my business, I think success right now for me looks a lot different than what it used to. I think right now success would be having my clinicians and my therapists feeling like they're in a work environment that is you know, helping them, walking alongside them, encouraging them, making sure that they're not feeling burnt out, you know, those kinds of things. And then, because to me, that means that they are doing a good job then with their clients.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So it's like a trickle down effect for me. And so I think, I guess success in that way is that we have clients who believe in what we do at Madewell and who are seeing results at Madewell Center, and clients who, you know, tell their friends, you know, to okay. come to our practice because they have gotten a lot of good out of it, you know? And I guess personally, success for me would look like finishing some of these trainings that I have under my belt and just feeling like, cause I've never been one. I don't want to have to micromanage really anything that I do in mm-hmm. life. And so I always want people to be able to do what they do and do it well so that I don't have to keep like hounding after someone. Yeah, right. So I think success in personal life kind of looks like making sure that the people that I'm working with or my family, my son, you know, mm-hmm. that he can learn, you know, like teach a man to fish type of deal. Okay. So I think that would be success for me, like leaving a legacy in that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We're actually doing something for the studio. It's going to be called Build Your Community Summit. That's going to be coming out maybe like October, November.
Oh, cool.
But the reason why I thought about that is I wanted to ask you, how did you build your community of clinicians that are inside your group?
Are you talking like kind of bringing them on or just like within the practice? How do we like maintain our community together?
More that than that.
Yeah.
Than the
so latter. Our clinicians, I mean, in the practice, we do simple things like, you know, we eat lunch together, yeah. you know, like seriously, we just sit outside of the picnic table, mm-hmm. eat lunch together. It's a nice day. We try to do things to celebrate each other, like host a baby shower if someone's yeah. pregnant or, you know, for birthdays and, you know, that kind of thing. We make sure we get flowers and yeah. cards to like show that we care. And we have like our group chat text and, mm-hmm. you know, on Google chat, we have our all team chat together. Yeah. And so it just becomes like a good way for people to send a quick little message, you know, and just right. like say, hey, what's going on? Cause therapy world is kind of weird in the sense that we all have our like on the hour, you know, right. clients yeah. and stuff. And so, you know, we're all kind of in and out and we'll be like, hey, what's up? Hey, you know, mm-hmm. but ultimately we kind of end up like missing each other a lot. Right. So we have to plan like hangout times or like we try to volunteer together sometimes okay, too yeah. and things like that. So
oh, that's neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And since you are starting to come up on our time a little bit, one of my last questions for you is yeah. if you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Oof. Younger self one thing. It's funny. I think I would just tell my younger self that like life, you can't have super rigid expectations mm-hmm. in life. It will unfold how it's supposed to.
Right.
And just to like trust that process. Cause I think when I was younger, I definitely stressed out about, right. you know, like where am I going to go to college? Or like, am I going to get married? And what's my family going to look like? And am I going to have enough money for X, Y, or Z? Yeah. You know, all these things that don't, I mean, they matter, but in the grand scheme, it's mm-hmm. like, when you learn how to align yourself with things that are true to you, true to like your capacity, true to your values, things just kind of fall into place how they need to. Right. Not to say that there won't be stressors or that there won't be, you know, difficulties or things yeah. like that, but it'll be okay. Right. You know, ultimately, I guess, is just like telling my younger self to like learn how to align with your values sooner, mm-hmm. learn how to align with truth sooner.
Right.
Because when you do that, like it changes the game for how things fall into place quicker.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I think ultimately we can kind of like try and white knuckle stuff so hard, mm-hmm. but really if we just align ourselves sooner, we can trust the process a lot better, you know?
Yeah. I love that. That's a great
yeah.
answer.
Yeah.
So, okay, that wasn't the last question. I thought of this one too.
Nice.
But only because you're a new mom now.
Yes.
And our main demographic here is going to be like the millennials. So a lot of people having babies and right. stuff like that and inside of their careers. Mm. What's been a few things that you've been able to do to kind of balance the new mom life with the career and everything that you're doing?
Yeah. Well, I think part of balancing it now is that I really planned to balance it. I mean, you have 9 months that you're pregnant, right? And right. so use them. Use them 9 months, people. That's what I gotta say. Like, plan as hard as you can ahead of time because that makes it so much better. I mean, granted, right now my balance looks, it's hard because I can only, again, be in office for so many hours a week with my babysitter and stuff. But, you know, I planned for that because I knew that my capacity would be that at this point in time. Right. And so I knew that. And so that's what I'm okay with. And so because of that, I'm not like freaking out about it and I'm not super stressed. And like when I come home from work, I get to like be with my little man and it's fun. And he's so cute right now. And he's just like such a good kid. And I think also I like me and my husband have done a really good job of trying to say like, you know, for me, because I can't be in office so much, I do still need like extra hours to get work done.
Right.
And so we've like agreed that one night a week, like I can have like 4 to 5 hours, like sit and crank out paperwork, you know, and he's kind of like in charge of watching and keeping an eye on him, even though like he's asleep more than likely, but it just, it's freeing to me to have communicated that. And even though we're both free at the same time, really, like, I know that I'm not the one in charge in that moment to have to go take care of him if he needs something. Yeah. I know that my husband is on it, right? Yeah. So I think communication is, like, a big one, and then just planning for it ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And planning within the capacity, like, you have to come to the acceptance and realization that you are no longer going to be able to do the exact same thing that you did before.
Right.
And, like, if you can't accept that, like, you're going to be in a pickle and you're going to be anxious about it the whole time. You have to, again, know your limits and know your own kind of capacity. And
so Chris's question, did you ask this? Where can people find you guys?
Madewell Center, www.madewellcenter.org. If you're interested in the healing intensives or women's retreats or things like that, you can go to Wellness Buff. And then if you're interested and you just want to reach out directly, just email us info@madewellcenter.org. It's probably the best way to get scheduled quickly.
Nice. Sweet.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I greatly appreciate it. Yeah.
It was a blast. So, yeah. Thank you for hopping on here. It was interesting. I learned a bit.
Yeah. We got through a lot really fast. So.
Yeah. It's either like similar to a session. It's either like I feel like you got a lot out of it or you're like, well, I didn't get too much. I felt like we got a lot.
Okay, good.
In a little bit of time.
Good.
It's one of those times when you look down and you're like, oh my gosh, we're 50 minutes into it already.
It's wild. It goes fast.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, thanks for hopping on. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Eventually watching it, because at one point we'll have a YouTube version of this.
One point. I'm talking about capacity.
Yes.
That's right. Know where you're at.
When that capacity
slow growth,
gets there.
It's fine.
But please like, comment, share, subscribe. I mean, we post stuff regularly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, thank you for your support. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks.